Good afternoon, everyone. I have no financial disclosures to report. Given the talks that we've already have on integrating the topic, what I'm going to move away from is the theory and the assumptions of how to integrate social justice and talk about what I've actually done in terms of practice in my courses of integrating social justice into bioethics courses and also work with medical school students. And with that work, it's been over the last 3 years, I'm also going to mention some of the benefits and the concerns that have come up in trying to make that integration work and share some of the lessons that I've learned over the years. I'm currently teaching public health ethics, social science, and bioethics. And there's also an ongoing health disparities lecture series that was motivated by the students, and I lecture in that area. Is there anyone here teaching public health ethics? Oh, great. So we can talk after. As many of you know, the big divisions are looking at, from a bioethical perspective, looking at individual needs versus a population need. And I'm very passionate about public health and social justice, and my research interests are in community-based participatory approaches. And so in the beginning, I would hammer students over the head with this idea of the needs of population, health equity, human rights issues. And that didn't work so well because students felt affronted by that, given their knowledge in bioethics and where they were comfortable working in the clinical setting, looking at individual rights and autonomy. And I'll talk about how I've built a bridge between these two areas rather than looking at them as right or wrong or so different, but how they actually work together and can be complementary to each other. And that's been a much more effective teaching tool to integrate social justice. The main part of integrating social justice into bioethics and into medical curriculum is looking at the aim, what is appropriate for this group of students at this particular time. And for some courses, it's just increasing awareness of public health. As you know, many of our students don't know what public health is until they've graduated undergraduate. We don't have a mechanism for increasing awareness of what is public health. So some of the aims in my course is just to make people aware of what the approach is and not really ask anything of them, just reflect on that with their current knowledge. A higher level may be to actually take action using a public health approach. And also looking at sustainable change. Students understand very well that some of our efforts in healthcare are so limited, and they can appreciate the idea that if we take a public health approach, we can have work towards more sustainable changes. And that's depending on the course and the population in the year, I select a particular aim for that course. How does it relate to who I have in my course, and what's feasible given the current curriculum? What do I want to achieve? This is a description of what I've covered in the public health ethics course. We include health promotion, disease prevention, race and ethnic health disparities. And with this course, I start with a public health framework and integrate bioethics, rather than start with a bioethics framework and integrate public health. And so the structure is more like a public health course. And also include community-based participatory research and public health reform. Are any of you using unnatural causes in your public health ethics course? One person. That's a great teaching tool for integrating social justice. Students respond very well to that. In the health disparities lecture series for this course, it helps to have students understand community by also looking at individual approaches. So recognizing where they're starting, talking about cultural competency or cultural humility, and the benefits of that model, and then leaping over to community approaches, prevention, outreach, access to care, based on the limitations that we see on just individual approaches. And then also looking at national approaches, more promoting health equity in general. Here's a list of some of the teaching tools that I've incorporated. When I'm talking about cultural competency in social science and bioethics, I don't just talk about the theory of it and the potential benefits of it, but I have students really evaluate the training. They sign up for, there's a Think Cultural Health website where they can actually get trained in cultural competency. So they're getting that information, but then in the course we're evaluating that experience. How do they see that relevant for their potential practice? And it gives them a leadership over the topic, not just as a student taking in information, but critically evaluating it. I also have students conduct illness narratives in social science and bioethics so they can get the personal story of a patient, and that often includes a lot of social justice issues. And rather than just hearing from me and the literature, they're hearing firsthand from individual cases, and that's a very powerful way to introduce the issue of social justice. For a public health ethics course, I have required students to interview public health professionals. And in the first week of the course, we talk about the field of public health, and then by the third week, they're going to do this interview, and they're responsible for identifying a public health professional at multiple levels in the field. So they get to understand how broad the field is, and they're picking someone that they have a linkage to or a connection to, and it's a way to, the students in this course ask about the ethical decisions, the practical ethical decisions that these public health professionals have to make on a day-to-day basis. And it's a eye-opening experience for them, because our theory in public health ethics doesn't match very well to what we have to do in practice. We have our public health professionals who've never had a course or don't even know the guidelines, and then we have to ask how relevant are the guidelines that we currently have. So that's another wonderful, enlightening way for students to get a sense of social justice. And we use that interview, the information in it, throughout the course, because they're picking a variety of topics. So it may reflect on health promotion, it may reflect on harm reduction, and they become an educator almost in the course, educating each other about what they've learned from the interview. I also try to include a variety of guest lecturers from the field who are going to bring in a different and unique perspective. Media ethicists, journalists, nonprofit organizations, advocacy groups, and I found that very effective of showing them the breadth of what public health can be and what some of the realistic ethical challenges are. I'm going to talk about that. So with that work, some of the early criticisms and concerns that were raised among bioethics students and medical students, this is examples of some of the issues that they posted and commented on. Some students questioned whether social justice was an ethical issue. That took me aback, and you know, I'm very passionate about the field, so it was hard to really relate and figure out what my appropriate response was. But over the years, you sort of hear where their arguments are coming from, and with as in ethics in general, people's moral and personal beliefs step over right into their professional beliefs, so they can comfortably disregard the evidence and comfortably disregard what we've done and just speak from a personal and moral perspective. So once we understood that, then it could be a different conversation about what we consider an ethical issue or not. And in the beginning, I think I tried to convince students and change their mind, and that isn't my role in integrating social justice. I present the information and they make their own decisions, and that creates a lot less contention, trying to force my values on there. And we recognize that we all bring our personal values and subjectivities to the issue, and that helps. Other students appreciate the social justice values and principles, but feel hopeless in our ability to actually do anything about it. So why are we talking about this? We can't change power differentials. We can't address poverty effectively. It just is the way it is. And so we spend a lot of time talking about where we have been effective in promoting health equity so that they can be a little more encouraged. And we can talk about some of these comments, but I really learned a lot in terms of changing my heavy-handed style and making this effective. As I said, my work is in community-based participatory research, so I introduce that into the curriculum, into my courses, so students get a sense of the principles and the values behind that working relationship, that it's collaborative, that there's knowledge to be learned from the community as well as what we can provide as professionals. I link them to various community partners so that they have an opportunity to engage when possible. And Kahan mentioned Mark Stoltenberg, and take a note of that name because you will be seeing it. In addition to all the other things he's done, he created a project called CARE8, which is a service learning pilot curriculum that links students with underserved families to the first-year medical students. So medical students can sign up for CARE8 and then be partnered with families and follow them while they're learning about medicine, and they are a resource and support for families. And he devised this whole thing, created it, but then got it integrated into the curriculum, which was an outstanding way to work and open people's eyes up to social justice issues. He's also working with faculty, Rebecca Felder and Eva Baden. I also run the Loyola Summer Enrichment Program, which is an education and service program for diverse pre-medical students. And I partner with the admissions office and the student affairs office. And there I can platform and do a lot of what I like in terms of research, service, and course curriculum that promotes social justice, that looks at health equity, that looks at health disparities. And again, we're balancing the theory and what they're reading in the coursework, but also going out in the community and doing service so that they have a connection between those two things. It's not just a theoretical construct. They have to figure out how are they going to impact this community. Students also created a Center for Service in Global Health at Loyola. Here's some of the titles of community service projects I've developed with students. And I tell them, and I'll tell you, none of this work would be possible without the students. There isn't enough time, there isn't enough money going to service projects to make this happen. So students are partners, leaders, and some of the manpower in getting these things done. I'll show you some pictures. We have a multicultural farmers market in Maywood where Loyola is, and students do health screenings. They do cooking lessons so people can taste food. We had a person come in, the chef. We have a chef who also helps us out. He was making eggplant, and somebody hadn't seen an eggplant or tasted it before, so it's a great way to introduce healthy food. We're on our second year and going on to our third year of the Maywood Multicultural Farmers Market. And a lot of the activities to engage adults and kids are designed by the students. They have really good ideas once you give them the foundation of social justice. Our farmers are from the local area. Many African American and Latino farmers are selling their goods. In terms of some of the research projects, we've been able to conduct a Maywood Photo Voice project, which identifies youth perspectives on community health. And for this particular project, engaging students, the first year was the research looking at the impact of Photo Voice on the kids 8 to 11 and how it affected their own leadership, their expression, and of course summarizing their ideas about community health. And this year, the students are running it on their own, working with the alternative elementary and high school. And so they're learning public health skills, methods, and also impacting their future careers through that project. There are other projects. that involve students where possible. Some students may be in a leadership role helping to plan. Other students are doing direct outreach. Depending on their time and their interests, we can carve out different opportunities for them to engage in the community. This is some of the shots from the Photo Voice. So these are pictures from 8-11-year-olds who are considered at risk. I don't like that term, but they're considered at risk. And these are their exact quotes and the pictures of issues that they thought relevant for community health. I'll just pass through these. Now, one of the parts of integrating social justice into the curriculum is getting an understanding of the assumptions, the theories, the methods, and all of that, and then look at why things aren't moving forward. And if things go well in my course, they're usually at a point where they're as frustrated as I am with public health, and I know, okay, we did good this year. And then we get to have the real conversation about, you know, the lack of will for change, the lack of priority for change in terms of social justice issues, systems approaches rather than narrow domain-specific approaches to health. And then we're in week 12 of my public health ethics course, and the majority of them are with me. And why aren't we doing more? I don't understand. There are several benefits. Our students who are engaged either in the classroom or in the community become leaders in carrying the baton for social justice. Their ideas way surpass what we thought could be possible at Loyola in a very, very short time with some of their activities. And I'll close with some of the concrete lessons learned from this experience of integrating social justice in terms of teaching, research, and service. And listening and using community knowledge, which is the principle of community-based participatory research, but really having them guide the ideas. And when I started at Loyola, I was doing a lot of obesity prevention and not going very far. We don't have a full-scale grocery store. We don't have safe neighborhoods to for people to exercise. And you know, people would say we need to address youth violence, and I'd say, well, I don't do that. Let's talk about obesity, and then the next year, we need to address youth violence. And by over time, now we're doing youth violence, and we have 30 key stakeholders at the table looking to impact this issue. And so I translate that kind of information to the students as well. You know, we think we're listening sometimes, and we're not really listening. Starting small is another really key component. For the farmers market, we couldn't get it together for the first couple of years. It was, I don't know anything about farming. I didn't know any farmers. And we just bought fruits and vegetables wholesale and sold them at local events, at churches, at community activities. And that was a way to see what the process would be and get other community residents to be on board with the whole farmers market project. So if we didn't start there, it would have been really hard to just start with a farmers market. And we didn't give up, we just kept going on it. The third one, but tongue in cheek there, getting the right person for the job. And for those of you who are familiar with community-based participatory research, you have to invest a lot of time and effort in building those trusting relationships. It's really difficult to just come from the outside, have a great idea no matter what it is. It could be the best thing since sliced bread and just say to the community, we want to do this. I've been at Loyola 6 years and spend more time in the community than in my department, building those relationships, going to school board meetings, getting to know how things work, what has failed in the past in terms of social justice and health equity, so that we can use that in the efforts that we move forward on in the future. And I think you have to have a passion for that. I don't think that's something you could just learn or hear the benefits of and do to make this whole thing work. And then working with the strengths and assets of the community, and that'll be my final point because it's so important. With underserved communities, is we understand the lacks and the limitations, and it becomes really hard to see any of the benefits and any of the opportunities or assets that these communities might have. And that was reflected in the students' comments, that we can't change the situation. It's too big, it's too overwhelming, there's too many problems. But when you look for and work with the strengths, assets that communities already have, it's a perfect place to start to make change. And while Maywood doesn't have a grocery store, we have 111 churches that are strong and powerful. We have a faith-based network of 35 churches, which is one of the partners. There are pockets of opportunities that you can use to leverage social justice activities and missions. So I will close with that point. Thank you.